If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. It is our joy again today, on this Lord's Day, to greet you in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't God good? Is it not a blessing of the Lord that you're able to be up today, that you have health and strength and life, a place to live, a job to work, food to eat and air to breathe and the good sunshine and all of the good things that you enjoy? These are blessings from the Lord. James tells us that every good and every perfect gift cometh from the Lord. On His day today, I'd like to ask you, are you trusting the Lord? Do you really believe what God says? Have you acknowledged Jesus Christ as your Savior? What will you do on this Lord's Day? Will you devote time to worship, to study God's Word, to fellowship with God's people, to be in the house of God, to read the Bible? These are the most important things in your life. Indeed, the most important thing in your life is your relationship to God. Here at Worth Baptist Church, we're in business to tell men how they can get to God. Last Sunday, we celebrated our 21st anniversary with a great victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we continue as we enter upon the 22nd year to proclaim the gospel of redeeming grace. Perhaps you're listening to Worth Baptist Hour for the very first time today. If so, let me acquaint you with this ministry. We are now in the 6th year of broadcasting the gospel, and during these years, a number of people have come to know Christ. Last week, in our week of witnessing, the members of Worth Baptist Church contacted something like 10,000 people, and we were happy to learn that many of these people listen to Worth Baptist Hour. Let me suggest that right now you call someone, a friend, a neighbor, a member of your family. Let them know that Worth Baptist Hour is on the air and that we broadcast the gospel every Lord's Day from 8 until 8:30 over station KBUY. Perhaps you do not have a church home, or maybe you're looking for a place today to worship the Lord. We invite you to come and visit with us at Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. The motto of our Sunday school is teaching the whole Bible to the whole Sunday school to enlighten the whole family to the whole truth. We believe that God's Word has the answers of the disturbing, perplexing questions that face you in 1975. We're claiming God's promise from Philippians 4:19, but my God is able to supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If you would like to learn more about the Bible, we invite you to visit our Sunday school today at 10 o'clock. Our Sunday morning worship service is at 11 o'clock, and our Sunday evening worship hour is at 7. In the Sunday evening services, I am now in a series of messages entitled 1975 in Prophecy. We believe that this year, 1975, could be one of the greatest years in the history of Christendom and in the history of the church. In fact, we believe this could well be the year when our Lord Jesus Christ will return for His own. My message tonight in this series will be entitled The Two Witnesses of the Revelation. Who are they? What is their ministry? Where did they come from? How long will they minister? And what will their fate be? These are some of the questions to be answered in the message tonight. The Two Witnesses of the Revelation. I trust that you'll come and bring your family, and let's have a great time, an exciting time, a spiritual time in the house of the Lord today at Worth Baptist Church, where things are happening for the honor and glory of Christ. Remember, our location is 3309 Wilbarger Street, in Fort Worth. Last year, we purchased 14 acres of ground near the Fort Worth State School. In fact, our property joins the property of the Fort Worth State School. That's 1/2 mile north of Loop 820 at Campus Drive, just north and west of the South Campus of the Tarrant County Junior College. We would be happy for you to remember us in prayer as we plan to move in that direction. And this word of special announcement, on Easter Sunday, the last Sunday of this month, March the 30th, we plan a community-wide Easter sunrise service on our new property. The service will begin at 6:30 in the morning. Now that's Easter Sunday morning, March the 30th, a community-wide Easter sunrise service. We invite you to come and share the blessings of God with us in that great service. Remember, the time will be 6:30 Easter Sunday morning in the Easter sunrise service to be conducted on our beautiful 14-acre tract of land, 1/2 mile north of Loop 820, adjoining the Fort Worth State School property. We'll have more announcements about that, both by radio and by newspaper. But I trust that you'll plan to attend at 6:30 on Easter Sunday morning. In the meantime, we would be happy to hear from you by mail this week. Our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. If the broadcast is a blessing to you, if you have come to know Christ through it, or if you just enjoy it as a Christian, as a born-again believer, whatever your state or status, write us this week and let us know that you received the broadcast and that it is a blessing to your heart and to your life. Remember our mailing address, Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, Let There Be Light. I shall read from Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. But before I read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we are grateful indeed today for the Lord's Day, for the privilege of voicing the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we pray that as this gospel fills the air today, many will hear it and believe it and be saved. We pray for the Christian element of our city and of the Metroplex. We pray, dear God, that wherever the gospel shall be proclaimed today, that it might be preached with power, that many souls might come to know Christ, and that a spirit of revival would be in our city and in our community. Bless every listener to this broadcast is our prayer in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake, and with thanksgiving we pray. Amen. And now Genesis chapter 1. At verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, Let there be light, and there was light. We make no pretense in knowing the age of the earth. There have been many scientific guesses, but my guess is that nobody really knows. We believe creation as we know it, as it is recorded in the Bible, is some 6,000 years old. It appears that between verse 1 and verse 2 of Genesis 1, there was a cataclysmic judgment. What it was, we do not know. Why it came, we are not certain. And when it happened, we could only guess. But at any rate, we do know this. According to the revealed and written word of God, the earth that was not made in vain became void and empty, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And then the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. I've entitled my message today, Let There Be Light. From the statement, "Let there be light," we deduct three things. Number one, there was darkness over all the face of the earth. Number two, there was a need for light to dispel this darkness. And number three, there was a possibility of light coming into existence. When God spoke, light came. This physical darkness that covered the earth is not to be compared with the spiritual darkness that covered the human race after the fall of Adam. It all began in the garden when Adam disobeyed God. It continued through the centuries from Adam to Christ. And as a result of Adam's sin, the human race was plunged into eternal night. And all men, from Adam onward, are sinners. I have proof of that from the Word of God. In 1 Kings chapter 8 at verse 46, it is written, "There is not a just man upon the earth who doeth good and sinneth not." In Psalm 51:5 we read, the psalmist said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Psalm 58:3 says, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." Isaiah 53:6 tells us, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." It is written in Romans 3:23, "There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And in Romans 6:23, we find these words, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Ezekiel 18:3 tells us, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." I believe the time has come when preachers need to preach. We need to tell it like it is to people like they are. Not a mamby-pamby, Mother Hubbard, touch everything, cover everything, and touch nothing social gospel or sermonette. But my friend, we need a plain, pointed, positive, pungent, powerful proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to call a spade, and a shovel, a shovel. The Bible says sin is a reproach to any people. Mister, it is wrong for you to cheat. It is a sin for you to steal. It is a sin for you to lie. It is a sin for you to worship other gods. It is a sin for you to commit adultery. It is a sin for you to swear and curse and use God's name in vain. The Bible says, thou shalt not do these things. It is a reproach to you, and it is a sin against God for you to disobey His word. You see, a man is not a sinner because he sins, but a man sins because he is a sinner by nature, and a sinner by birth. For thousands of years, the whole earth lay in darkness, and what a darkness it was. It was a darkness that was as black as the blackness of midnight. There seemed to be no hope, neither in time nor in eternity. There seemed to be no way out of the spiritual dilemma. There seemed to be no light, as men were caught in the web of endless night. But wait! Isaiah, 750 years before Jesus Christ was born, lifted his telescope of prophecy toward the centuries, and he wrote in his 9th chapter at verse 2, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that sat in the shadow of death, upon them the light hath shined." I read about a group of tourists who were in Carlsbad Caverns one time. Among them was a 12-year-old girl with her 7-year-old brother. When all of the lights were turned out and everything was quiet, the little boy began to cry because of the darkness. And all of that touring company were given moral support when they heard the little girl whisper to her brother, "Don't cry, buddy, and don't be afraid. There's someone here who knows where the lights are, and he can turn them on." My friend, that's the message I want to give you today. You who are in the darkness of sin, in the night of your own shame and sensuality, don't be afraid. Don't cry. Don't give up. Don't be despondent. Don't despair. There's someone who knows where the light is, and his name is Jesus. In fact, He is the light of the world. He can bring light to your darkened heart and your darkened world. He can save your never-dying soul. He can cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He can forgive all your sins. He can make you as white as snow. He said, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." He said, "Come unto me, all of ye that labor and are a heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus Christ said, "Come, for all things are now ready." And Jesus Christ said, "He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." But you say to me, "Preacher, I was raised in a Christian home, or I was baptized when I was young, or I learned the catechisms as a child, or I've joined the church, I've been confirmed, I've been sprinkled." Well, my friend, all of that is good, but it is not good enough. We read in Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He hath saved us." You may attain the highest scholastic honors on earth and then die in darkness without Christ as your Savior and go to hell forever. You may reach the top rung of the social ladder, and you may have the applause of the notables of the earth, but without Jesus Christ, your destiny is an eternal lake of fire. You may accumulate a massive fortune and buy your way around the globe, but without Jesus Christ, you're headed for eternity, hopelessly lost. You may travel to the ends of the earth to make atonement for your sins. You may give your body to be burned. You may give all that you have to charity. But my friend, if you do not have Jesus Christ in your heart, if you do not trust Him as your Savior, you're lost forever. You may join every church in this city. You may shake the hand of every preacher on earth. You may learn all the catechisms. You may be baptized in every mode of baptism known to man. But my friend, without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are lost and on your way to hell, hopelessly doomed forever without the Savior. You may subscribe to all the doctrines of your denomination, or you may subscribe to all the dogma of your religion. But unless you've been born again, unless you've passed from death unto life, unless Jesus Christ has washed away your sins, eternity awaits you in a Christless, godless hell. I know you might be saying to me, but preacher, I'm doing the best I can, but that's not good enough. Jesus said, you must be born again. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The poet put it this way, in vain we search for peace with God by methods of our own. Dear Jesus, nothing but thy blood can bring us near thy throne. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. One day Jesus Christ was led outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem, and the Bible says when they were come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. Jesus died that you might live. He shed his blood that your sins might be washed away. And my friend, it is so simple. You see, many people are trying to make something difficult out of this gospel business, but it is simple. In fact, it is as simple as A, B, C. A, admit that you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus Christ died for you. And C, confess your sins to God, not to the pastor, not to the preacher, not to the priest, not to the pope, not to the church, but my friend, you should confess your sins to God. And the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He, that is God, is able and willing to forgive us all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Philippian jailer asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? And Paul answered, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We read in Romans chapter 10 at verse 8, But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 it is written, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. My friend, I trust this moment, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever the state or status of your life, whatever the condition of your soul, without Jesus Christ, I remind you, you are helplessly and hopelessly lost. But it doesn't have to be that way. This moment, wherever you are, you can pray the sinner's prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You can confess your sins and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Why don't you do it now? Right by your radio, bow your head. Ask God to forgive you. Ask Jesus Christ to save you and to come into your heart. And the moment you do, you'll be saved. Do it now, and may God bless you as you do. As we leave the broadcast today, we remind you once again that it would be our joy to have you come and visit Worth Baptist Church today. Something exciting is going to happen. God's going to do some great things in this place today. We want you to share them. Come today and share. At 10 o'clock, our Sunday school. At 11 o'clock, our morning worship hour. And at 7 this evening, our evening worship hour, the series of messages 1975 in prophecy. And my message will be entitled, The Two Witnesses. Let me urge you to come today to Worth Baptist Church, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. And until next Lord's Day, at this same time when we greet you by radio, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And, as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.